Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Wherever summer takes you, save on your journey with True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull. Enjoy the new Red Bull Summer Edition, White Peach, a perfect balance of bold, sweet, and refreshing. Right now, grab any 3 8-ounce Red Bull for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon, just in time for your next road trip. Save big all summer long with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
MLB.tv is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.tv. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's Off and Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app, streaming live on YouTube too, at the Team 980. We're almost all NBA today. We spent the first hour on the NBA Finals. We will talk more about that later. Now we will get to the Kevin Durant trade, but we will have a football detour at 5:30. Logan and I answering a very fun mailbag question on Take Command that we'll share with you. But right now, it is time for Not My Beat.
Today's top story, from the perspective of someone who's there.
You are looking live.
This just in.
Not My Beat.
Dwayne Rankins is a Suns insider. In fact, he's the Suns insider for the Arizona Republic, and he joins us now to talk about the Kevin Durant trade from the Phoenix end of things. Dwayne, how are you? Hope you're doing well after, I'm sure, what was a hectic day yesterday.
All part of it. All the day's work.
Yeah, no, for sure. The segment that we call this Not My Beat, because I used to be on a beat, and I'm very happy to not be responsive to breaking news in that way anymore. So I salute you and thank you for your time on the show with that introduction. But Dwayne, let's peel back some layers here and just start with the Suns try to put this together, this big three with Durant and obviously Devin Booker, who was there. And then ultimately they acquire Beal from here. How quickly in the experiment did you know this is not going well and it's not going to go well?
The second season is when it became obvious. I thought that the end of the first year, when they were going into the playoffs, I was like, okay, this has potential, because you could see when they did play with each other and the ball moved, you know, guys got open shots. And you're like, okay, this is what they envisioned. But then when they got swept by Minnesota, then you were like, I didn't like the fit. And then you think, well, maybe it's just Minnesota. Minnesota, you know, got defenders. Maybe that was the problem. And then when they got going and Beal just couldn't stay healthy, then you're like, okay, are they going to have time to figure it out? And then when they did play together, there was moments, but it was like, nah, this isn't going to work because Beal just couldn't stay healthy. And then when he did come in, it always felt like, you know, the chemistry was off. And then when Budenholzer benched Beal, that let you know that big three idea was a wrap. Now, he put him back in the starting lineup eventually, but that was the final nail. Once he benched Beal, it became, well, okay, they're not even going to roll with this anymore. And so that's when it became apparent to me that it was going to be, that this wasn't going to work. And 45 and 33 is just not good enough for that group. And then when I spoke with Devin Booker late in the season, this past season, he was like, well, you know, we haven't had a lot of time together, but that's not an excuse. That's basically your franchise player saying, we can't move forward with this. So there's been many instances where it became obvious that it wasn't going to happen.
Suns insider Dwayne Rankins with us here on the Hoffman Show. Obviously, there is an extra interest here in the D.C. market in the Beal part of this. And we know that he has the no trade clause, famously, and that right. the Suns tried to trade him or like tried to work a trade at the deadline. And he was like, no, I'm good. Is that ultimately why Durant is gone here? Is basically that they couldn't get rid of Beal and they don't want to get rid of Booker. So basically, like, what is the calculus here for Phoenix deciding now is the time on ending the Kevin Durant portion of the experiment?
Well, one, you have to look at it that way in terms of why Durant is the one that got traded. They weren't going to trade Devin. They just weren't. I mean, he's the guy here, and they're going to the whole thought of trading him, there would have been a riot here in this city had they traded Devin Booker. That's not the reason why you don't trade a guy. I'm just saying that wasn't going to happen. Then Beal with the no trade clause, and I make the comparison to a Rubik's Cube for those who are in the age bracket and know what that is. You basically they would get one side of it right, and okay, well no, that's not the right team, and then you go, okay, this might be a good team for Beal. So it was always not mixing and matching, not getting it right for all parties to want it to happen. And so the Suns, they tried. They tried almost any combination you could think of to try to make that deal for Beal, but it just didn't work out. And so you can't go 36-46 and pay the salary that you're paying all three of those guys and think you're going to move forward with that. So it's a lot of factors involved, but ultimately, yeah, they would have preferred to move Bradley Beal than Kevin Durant, that's for sure.
So what's next for the Phoenix Suns? Like, 100% they're not trading Booker, and is there any chance that they can trade Beal this summer? Is he potentially, especially with Durant gone, maybe more open to some larger swath of teams, or is he just planted in Phoenix and they have to wait out his contract?
Well, the Jalen Green coming in now becomes, okay, this fit actually might be worse than the fit with Kevin, because at least Kevin had the size and he could play off the ball and be a catch and shoot player. Kevin's a plug and play. You know, he can play any style. Now you've got three perimeter players in Devin, Jalen, and Brad. It just feels like if you're going to move forward with this, then you're talking about a situation where you're watching and going, okay, this probably isn't going to work either. So a move has got to be made, you would think. Jordan, now you're talking about a first-year head coach. You're going to ask him to figure out a lineup with a bunch of perimeter guys. They could get bigger in the draft. They can make some trades. But if they're able to move Beal, then you could address the size issues that you have. And then it becomes just, you know, what team would be ideal. Before the season ended, you know, one thing I was looking at was looking at just salaries alone is Paul George. If they just traded him to Philly for Paul George, you know, what would that look like? Because salaries are about the same. And that was just a thought that I had. I'm not saying that the Suns had the same thought, because I don't know. But they need to find something like that, where a team doesn't want their guy or could move on without a guy that has similar salaries, and both guys will be happy going to the other team. Well, really, it would be Beal, because Beal has the no trade clause.
Dwayne Rankins is with us, Phoenix Suns insider. When you look at the identity of this team, I think that's something that if I was a Suns fan, I'd be pretty frustrated with, because they've gone through so many coaches. They've churned the roster. And like, this is a team that's in the NBA Finals 3 years ago and looked very promising with a young star in Devin Booker. Do you feel like with Ishbia now there for a couple years, having flipped the front office, having flipped the coaching staff again, gone young at that position, that even if it gets off to a rough start this year because they can't work through the Beal part of it or some other, you know, roster-based issue, that they'll at least are at a point, Dwayne, where they will try to settle into some kind of identity moving forward? Or do you think this thing is still a moving target and who knows what we're talking about by the trade deadline with this team?
I mean, look, it's easy to sit and say, oh, you guys should rebuild. That's just not what Matt Ishbia is. And when your reputation, when you come in with the mentality of win a championship, you're going to roll with that. And that's where he's at with it. Like, he could easily say, you know what, we're rebuilding. It's just what it is, and move on. But he's just not going to do that. And now, you know, when you're looking at the team, they could go into this year with Beal. They could do that. I wouldn't be surprised if they did that. But, you know, at some point, if you're at that point like you're talking about before the trade deadline, it's looking like, okay, this isn't going to work. You can see a move being made. The bottom line is they're over the second apron. So Matt Ishbia doesn't even really realize what the value of the dollar is, because right now what he's paying for isn't resulting in competing for a championship. If they can get under the apron, second apron, then you will see some move that, okay, this is how you build a team. And so that's where they're at. And one of the ways you can get under it is try to figure out Beal. I mean, it's just, you know, his contract is just which in Beal's defense, if Beal was making $30 million instead of $50 million a year, this'd be a different conversation. Mm. But because he's making $50 million, the expectation is you've got to be able to do X, Y, and Z, E, F, and G. And he's just not doing that. Partly health. Probably it's just not having it for him with the setup.
And I think we lost Dwayne there. I think we had a whole big internet issue, Anthony, that might have been that did that. Well, we appreciate Dwayne Rankin's time. Dwayne Rankin, the Suns insider for the Arizona Republic, with us here on the Hoffman Show. If you want to call Dwayne back, Anthony, and say, hey, thanks. Thanks for your time. We appreciate it. Sorry, we had a phone issue. We don't want to be rude, but that was our last question with Dwayne anyway. But I do want to kind of look at the Beal thing through the Wizards' perspective now, seeing how this has played out in Phoenix, and take a look at all of this stuff and how it's played out for all the participants a couple years later. We'll do that next on the Hoffman Show. Don't forget to take command at 5:30.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
They're already stars, but now you can make them all stars. Vote in the 2025 Pro Spirit MLB All-Star Ballot 5 times daily. Show your favorite players just how much you want to see them play in Atlanta. And new this year, download and visit the MLB Pro Spirit game during Phase 1, and you can secure an additional vote per day for your favorite players. Submit your ballot today at MLB.com/vote and add some shine to summer. Voting ends June 26th at 12 p.m. Eastern Time. MLB trademarks used with permission.
It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app, streaming live on YouTube too at the Team 980. All right, so there's a combo, I think, discussion to be had here, Anthony, off of the Thunder winning the title and the Durant trade. Because, and it's kind of a discussion about the Wizards, right? And it's trying to look at how do you build a team. What are some of the things the Wizards have done? And I look at a team, the Durant deal, through the Phoenix lens here, not through the Rockets lens. Although, to an extent, the Rockets lens too. I think the Rockets have learned a really good lesson, which is, like, why not now? And I think never before in the NBA would I have said that. But I do think that what we're seeing now with these restrictive rules on team building and how fragile this league is that if you think you have a shot, you should just go for it. Because if you try to wait for the perfect timing, you might have an injury that blows it up. Or a player, like, you think you got a big three and one player sours before the other one is ready. And so if you're the Rockets and you have Alperen Şengün and you're like, he's really freaking good. And Van Vliet still in his prime. And you can acquire a Kevin Durant to go with all of the super athletic defensive guys you got. Ime Udoka is a really good defensive coach. And we think that we can make this thing happen. And specifically the thing that we need is available in the form of Kevin Durant. We know that this title window is going to be short. 1, maybe 2 years before Durant is done. Right? He's 37 years old. And while it feels like Kevin Durant will be scoring in pickup basketball games till he's 100. But scoring in pickup basketball games versus scoring in the NBA are different. They're just like, Boston probably thought they had a multiple year runway. They're hurt. Tatum goes down. They might have to blow it all up. The Pacers, they're looking at extensions for a bunch of guys, including Mathurin, you know, potentially this offseason. They're extension eligible. Neesmith, extension eligible. So, are they going to have to all of a sudden pay guys? Do they have to make tough decisions? And by the way, they have to do all this through the lens that 2025-26 is, they're not going to be like, oh, it's a wash, we're going to give up. But, like, they don't have Tyrese Halliburton. It's like their title chances are tremendously hit. And so, if you look at the shortness of the window, a team, like, once you're ready, iron strikes hot. Go. But I think if you're the Wizards, you're looking more at, we don't want to be Phoenix. We don't want to try things that just for the sake of trying them. We want to have a pointed plan. I think Houston probably is like, we have a pointed plan. They have enough draft assets. They have enough young players that there is a path to a post-Durant success without being terrible. They also accumulated a ton of second-round picks that they're able to include in this trade. So they had a war chest of assets. And they also had hard lines in the sand. Like, they weren't going to give up Eason. They weren't going to give up Shepard. And they have future Phoenix picks that they were not willing to give back to the Suns. So, like, the Rockets have been able to do this without giving up their best assets. And if you are the Thunder, like, they have a war chest of assets. They have 7 first-round picks in the next 3-4 years, I think it is, including 2 this year. They can't even use them because they have 15 guys under contract next year already, including, by the way, Nikola Topic, who many people thought would be, if he was healthy, he could be the best player. He could have been the best player out of last year's draft class, and he tore his ACL and didn't even play this season. So they're getting a guy who's like a top 3, top 5 caliber pick next year. And so I look at, say, the asset management that the Wizards have done, and like, let's trace it back, right? So Michael and Will, Winger and Dawkins, inherit the worst contract in the NBA. That's Beal's because of the no trade clause. One, he's not a $50 million player. Or a $45 million player, or 46. So the cap hits on that were 2022-23, he's a 43, then he was 46. So they traded him after that first season, 2 weeks after they got here. He's 50 this year, he'll be 53 next year, and he's got a player option for 57. And if Bradley Beal has any sense, he will take that player option, because there ain't no way in hell that dude is getting $57 million on the open market at 34 years old with the level he's played, right? So they take Beal. They turn, and I'm just doing the players here, not even the picks, right? They turn Beal, who is going to be on their books with a no trade clause, playing at a subpar level that caps the success of your team. They take him in 2023, and he's going to be on the books until 2027, and turn him into Chris Paul. They turn Chris Paul into Jordan Poole. So by comparison, Jordan Poole, his contract, if Spotrac would let me find it. Hold on, Jordan Poole contract. Normally this website's very easy to navigate page to page. Poole cost half, basically. He's going to, or 60%. He is on the books also till next year, but he's 31 this year, 34 next year. And I would rather have Jordan Poole than Bradley Beal as a player. Contract neutral. I would rather have Poole than Beal, the way Beal has been the last couple of years, because he's been hurt nonstop. Healthy, it's a different argument, maybe. But I think it's close enough that especially the way Poole played in 2024-25, you'd rather have that player. So then, like, what if they flip him again? Which I think everyone anticipates them eventually doing. They can either get off the money earlier or they take on someone else and they probably... And if they get off the money earlier, then you've created flexibility to take on a different bad contract and get draft capital for it. Or you have taken on a longer contract and you probably get draft capital with it and you accumulate the war chest. And like, I know this is boring in some ways and it's very chess-like in that you're always trying to think the next move ahead, the next move ahead. And it's like, hey, when do we get to capture the king? A really great player. But you just have to stay ready. And I think that's kind of the like really boring part of what the Wizards are doing right now, what the Jazz are trying to do, and what the Hornets are trying to do is like, okay, when we're bad and we have good draft picks, let's take good players. Let's take Brandon Miller if we're Charlotte. And like, let's see if he's a star. If you're Washington, obviously you would have loved to be in the top two of this year's class. You know, you take another good player and someone that you hope can be a part of your winning team moving forward. But it's the ability to see those moves coming, maintain the flexibility, and understand that you have to be ready when the iron is hot or when there's a trade to be made or to be the Nets are in this position now. Like part of the reason the Nets have been able to accumulate a ton of assets is because they have a ton of cap space. And it's like, oh yeah, we'll take your bad contract for a year as long as you attach a first round pick to it. And then we can trade multiple first round picks for a player. And that's how this league currently operates, more so than like, hey, you got a bunch of free agent. You get cap space to sign a free agent. And turning I guess my point is, when you see what's happened in Phoenix and you look at what Houston was able to do, you look what Oklahoma City is set up to do with a championship now in hand, the fact that the Wizards turned the worst, most inflexible contract in the sport, maximum length, maximum money with a no trade clause into real flexibility with potential for more, I think is, you have to, Anthony, say is a pretty significant win.
No, I mean, they definitely did just because of the situation that they were, you know, put in. But that's also why, you know, having a Will Dawkins, a Michael Winger, those people as our higher-ups and, you know, the people that helped build the team that we just saw win the NBA championship, it's important that, you know, have people like that in there so we can capitalize on deals like this. And it sort of kind of reminds me of what the Nationals sort of kind of did with Juan Soto in terms of, you know, trading him and, you know, bringing in that large haul of players that we have now. Granted, it hasn't necessarily resulted in, you know, wins for the Nationals, but the fact you have a Mackenzie Gore, you have a James Wood, you have a CJ Abrams, you know, that's something, you know, better than nothing. And it's good to have, you know, smart people sometimes.
So Just so folks understand how this goes and like where it, you know, like when they have the seasons graphics and it's like, you are here.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, right now we got to be on Hell's front porch. Oh my God, it's hot outside. In 2007, Sam Presti, then the new lead executive for the Seattle Supersonics, has Rashard Lewis, right? And so that summer he trades Ray Allen to the Celtics. And he trades Rashard Lewis. And by the way, the Ray Allen pick, I think, becomes Durant or becomes Westbrook. He becomes one of them or is used to get one of them. But he also, the other forgotten trade is, he trades Rashard Lewis to the Orlando Magic. And Rashard Lewis was a really good player, really useful player who helped the Orlando Magic win an Eastern Conference championship and compete in an NBA Finals. So, like, not a bad deal for Orlando, right? But in that deal, he gets a trade exception and two first-round picks. But he uses cap space to just absorb some contract and send Rashard Lewis to Orlando. One of those picks becomes Serge Ibaka. Serge Ibaka becomes Victor Oladipo, Ersan Ilyasova, and the draft rights to Domantas Sabonis. Victor Oladipo, who also gets acquired by Presti, and Sabonis become Paul George. Paul George become Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Danilo Gallinari, and five first-round picks and two pick swaps. So in from literally Rashard Lewis in a sign-in trade in 2007, Sam Presti ultimately gets Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Jalen Williams, Cason Wallace, three other first-round picks, two pick swaps, and they have a championship in hand in 2025, and they're still going. And this literally you can trade back, move for move, to 2007. So is it chess? Is it probably frustrating if you're a Thunder fan in, like, 2021? Sure. But not if you're a Thunder fan today, and hopefully this is the Wizards in 2029, 2030. I'll be like, remember how this all started with the Beal trade in 2023? That'd be cool. But it's just transaction for transaction, getting a little bit better, a little more flexible, a little more options, until eventually you can cash in. And we'll see if they do. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. When we get back, Take Command answers a self-described, very stupid mailbag question.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Wherever summer takes you, save on your journey with True North convenience stores and Red Bull. Enjoy the new Red Bull Summer Edition, White Peach, a perfect balance of bold, sweet, and refreshing. Right now, grab any 3 8-ounce Red Bull for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon, just in time for your next road trip. Save big all summer long with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. True North convenience stores, fast, friendly, clean.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game, like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
A gem of a game!
This is baseball your way, with stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Streaming live on YouTube, too, at the Team 980. 6 o'clock, back to the NBA. More on the NBA Finals and the Thunder's 2025 NBA Championship. Right now, though, Take Command. We had fun with our mailbag this morning. Quite a bit of fun. We'll let you hear just a little bit of it. Fun thought exercise Logan and I went through. Here we go. On the Hoffman Show.
It's time to take command with former NFL tight end Logan Paulson and former Commanders beat reporter Craig Hoffman.
What's up? What's happening? It is a summer mailbag edition of Take Command. That's Logan Paulson. I am Craig Hoffman, and it is time to answer nonsensical questions about football and some sensical questions about football.
Some of them are sensical.
We're going to start with a self-described stupid question, and I'm really pumped about it. By the way, the mailbag questions this week were probably the best batch we've ever gotten. We asked for some more creative, like, hey, not quite as urgent. It's the off season. Like, let's have some fun. And you guys delivered with some really fun hypotheticals. So appreciate that. And we got a couple more weeks of this before training camp begins. So obviously on Thursday, we will do our defensive position group rankings. So just like we did the offense last week, which everyone agreed with, oddly, Logan, no, say Eagles fans got in our comments about Jalen Hurts being ranked third in our quarterback. No, that didn't happen. Everyone universally agreed with our unimpeachable analysis.
I wasn't sure about that. When we did it, I was like, oh, I wonder how this is going to go over. Because I honestly, like, I felt pretty good about it, but the quarterback thing, I was like, I bet you people are going to be pissed about this.
Yeah, they were. The Eagles fans found it, and so it is what it is.
Good for them.
Look, if my guy went to 2 of 3 Super Bowls and he was ranked third in the division behind a guy who was a rookie last year and Dak Prescott, who's never made it, championship game, I'd probably be pretty pissed too. And I say it that way, we should probably go back and change the rankings, but it is what it is. So
anyway, the point is, we'll do the defense on Thursday. So look forward to that, and we'll continue the mailbag questions until then. Starting with a brilliant our guy Steven, who did the charity thing with us last year, made us look like fools on trivia. He gets the show, Logan. He gets the show. Hey, Craig, I think the offseason is a good time to ask a potentially stupid question about defense, so here goes. I think it's a potentially stupid because I've never seen a certain scenario done, and since there's a lot of smart people in the NFL, it's probably never been done for a reason. But it has to do with rushing the passer against great offensive lines. Sometimes it feels like a waste of resources because the rush won't get home most of the time. But to make the question a little less stupid, and due to my dislike of watching prevent defenses, I'll ask about a specific scenario. So here we go. Let's lock in. Say a team is down by 7 with under 2 minutes to go. So time is not on their side. So the offense, down 7, 2 minutes to go. If they have a great offensive line, why wouldn't the defense just drop 11 into coverage? Unless I'm misreading the rules, those 5 offensive linemen are now completely obsolete unless the quarterback runs. But if he passes, they can't go forward more than 2 yards. So now you have 11 defenders covering 5 receivers. Maybe defenses don't do this with Lamar and Jaden, but most don't have running QBs like them. So in this scenario, maybe you drop your 2 best D-line athletes 5 to 6 yards, drop your best linebacker 8 to 10 yards, and the rest are DBs. Yes, the quarterback will have all day to throw, but again, it's under 2 minutes, and they don't have the luxury of time, and finding an open receiver against 11 athletic dudes can't be easy. And add in that the offense wasn't expecting this, so you have the element of surprise as well. Again, I know it's a stupid question, but why is it so stupid? Bess, Steven.
Yeah, actually, I don't think it's that stupid, honestly. I think
when you get to the specific scenario, it's actually not that stupid.
Yeah, when I was thinking about it, like when you were going through the different parameters there for the drill, like I was like, you know, in a world where if you get 11 guys on the field that are all coverage players, now I think you might run into an issue from like a roster depth standpoint, is how many good coverage players do you have? But let's say hypothetically you had all 6-year corners out there, a couple safeties, and guys that are really good in coverage, and you played like a version of like 2-man where you basically like doubled every player and then had 2 shell safety over top, like, and in a 2-minute situation where the ball's got to be out, like, I don't really hate that idea. You know what I mean? I think it gives you a lot of flexibility. I think the thing that freaks people out, and this is just like having talked with defensive coordinators specifically about like prevent defenses, drop 8, you know, drop 9, whatever we're doing. You know, obviously, like on the Hail Mary, Chicago dropped 10. You know what I mean? Like you drop all these.
Well, no, because they had guys that were coming after Jaden.
It's like 2 rushes or 1 rusher, whatever it is, 1 or 2 yeah. rushers. And in those situations, that's perfectly normal. I think when you talk to defensive coordinators is like when you do not have any rush, or like even if it's like 1 person, 2 people, is you run into this issue where like that there's no cap on the defense, really, right? There's no ceiling, right? So like the rush does a couple things. One, keeps the quarterback in the pocket, A. B, it kind of makes it difficult to attack way down the field. So all of a sudden, if you're just like playing 11-on-5 or whatever this coverage is we're going to do here, like there is a possibility that someone gets way down the field and behind the defense, which leads to an explosive play. So I think that would be the concern. That's a concern in like drop 8, for example. So drop 8, for people who don't know, is just basically like you rush 3, you drop the other 8 guys in coverage, usually at some type of zone. And the idea is that you get the quarterback to pat the football. He's unsettled. He makes an errant throw or he throws the football away. If you don't have any rush, like my concern would be like someone falls down, there's a dude that's 20 yards behind your safety, and the quarterback, because there's no rush, has time to kind of evaluate each thing and get that ball down there. And so I think that like that would be the ultimate concern, is that even though you are going to be awesome in coverage and in a 2-minute situation, I think because there's no rush, like the likelihood of an explosive play increases, in my opinion.
Yeah, you in some ways actually crank up your risk factor because they just might chuck it deep and, you know, pass interference, like people run into each other. Like there's definite downside to it. And I think I guess if you wanted to do true double teams across the board, all 5, so 5 eligibles, that's 10 dudes, two for one, and then a single safety who's just like, your job is to make sure no one gets deep. Like we're playing 2-on-1 × 5 with 1 dude who like you might as well stand on the goal line to make sure. You come up with that. You could do an 11-man zone thing, but like with an 11-man zone, you know, obviously the bubbles are pretty tight if you're thinking like a Madden screen. But also then some of those guys are kind of rendered useless. Like, would you then overload it? Like, I don't.
Well, this is the other thing too.
It's not stupid, but it's also not optimal.
Is like, yeah, like even if you were doing that, like maybe playing double teaming everybody up isn't the best move, but like you play man, you have five guys playing some version of match, but then you have like a cover two shell. You have enough people to do that, right? Yeah, yeah. Or maybe it's cover four. You have four guys crazy deep over top. Then you have a hook, like a lurk player in the middle of the field there. Like, I think that's actually like a pretty sweet idea. I do, again, like it has to be a very specific scenario. But I do also think the problem is like when you give that quarterback back there unlimited time and limited opportunity, it becomes real dicey. Like you just, the whole defense, this is maybe the crux of it. The defense is constructed to get the ball out in about 2.5 seconds, right? Like that's what it's built to do. Like every single rule of the defense is designed to do that. So all of a sudden when you push that out to 10, 15, 20 seconds in some cases, like, I don't care. It's going to fall apart, right? It's like basically like when you go play pickup basketball and someone's like holding the ball at the point for a long time and people are just running around. At some point, one of those dudes is going to find a way to get open in that 30-second shot clock. And so I think that's what you're running into is like you just
– Well, and to be specific to your basketball example, it would be like if you have that dude at the point, but there's no one guarding the ball.
Right. Yeah, no, that's exactly right. Someone will at some point – get open, and just how open is that person going to be? And I think in this example, in a 2-minute situation, and maybe you could do it with like 10 seconds left in the game, something like that, like where it's a little bit tighter in terms of like capping the throw. But these quarterbacks now, man, they're too good. Like I remember watching Tony Romo in 2012, and this is something like maybe this scarring of my past is informing this decision, but we played a lot of drop eight in the red zone. Like we'd show blitz and we'd get in a drop eight. And I was like, oh my gosh. Like, cause he, you could tell he was unsettled, but he would just kind of sit there, buy a little time. He'd wait. It was like a 6-second down, and 6 seconds when you're used to like 2.5 feels like an eternity. And he would just find Jason Witten for a touchdown. He did it 2 times in that game. I just was like, man, like this is the problem. The quarterback, the receivers, the way they understand spacing is too good. So if there's no rush and I'm just standing back there, at some moment, either I'm going to take a shot down the field or I'm going to find a hole player or I'm going to find somebody near the sideline. And it's just like that's the nature of it. And I think maybe there's a more specific like end of half, you know, like and they're taking a shot or they're in like kind of maybe like the strike zone. So the 40 going in and we got to defend all the grass and the clock's our friend. Maybe that's a scenario where that would work. But I think the quarterback's too good. The space is too much. The field's too big, and they're going to find a way to get that ball completed. And you think you're just kind of fingers crossed that it's not going to be for an explosive play. So I think that's kind of where I'd fall on that ultimately.
Yeah, I don't hate it because if in specific to the scenario too, like let's add one more caveat: no timeouts, right?
Yeah,
because right. Like, can you always find a spot somewhere, especially if you have all day and you get some yardage? Yeah, and if it's really close, then you just get up to the line of scrimmage again and you spike it, and you know you can very quickly get the ball down the field. I guess you could like do a press situation. So you have, you know, some guys pressing, some guys, but like eventually you got to cover all the grass. But the idea of like, okay, it's a 12-second down as long as we don't give up an explosive, and then it's going to take, you know, either it's incomplete and you have to do it again. And now we've had one play in the time that you wanted to get like three off of quick out, out of bounds, you know, that kind of stuff. Or you do get a completion, but now it's taken a bunch of time and we almost have 45 seconds of game time run off the clock because it's a 12-second play. By the time you get back up, get everybody lined up again. Like I can see it's not outrageous. And especially if the team doesn't have a plan, like if you give an offensive coach a week to prepare for this, maybe. But like if it's, let's say you get, you know, they get the ball, you know, you punt it away, you're able to pin them inside the 10 and there's a minute 36 on the clock, they've got no timeouts, down 7. I don't think it's the worst thing you could do. Certainly would do that versus blitzing all 11. But I do think that typically, like, I don't know, like there's part of me that thinks it would work. Dude, if I'm being totally honest, but so, I mean, understand, but like I have the same itch about it that you and every person that's been around the NFL does of just like, oh man, like we can't let the quarterback sit back there forever. But it's 11 dudes in coverage, 11. That's a lot of dudes.
I think that's the other thing too. It's like, yes. So is the idea, this is something you run into like at the high school level, for example, all the time. Like you can have a really good idea, offensive idea, right? I was an offensive coordinator. You have a really good offensive idea. And it's like, man, if we could get to this like O-line shift where we bump them over and we get to this unbalanced look, like they're not going to shift to it. But there's only a certain number of reps you have in a week, right? So
that's also,
the thing you're into is like, I'm going to waste 15 of my 100 reps on this, which we might not even get to in the game. And is it really adding that much value over something else that we have in our defense, right? So like we rep, you know, drop eight all the time. Like we know the rules, the guys know where to be, the guys know the issues and the failings of the coverage. They also know the strengths of the coverage. So like, why not lean into drop eight, even though it might not be optimized for this specific scenario? And I think the other thing that you brought up too, I think it would work once really, really well. I think it would be amazing one time. But I think once people knew what you were doing and knew that that was in the bag and knew, especially if you personnelled it, like, hey, when there's 10 DBs on the field, like they do this, like I think you'd see a lot of draws. I think you would see a lot of draws.
That was the other thing that, yeah.
And it's going to be pretty gnarly because you're going to get a bunch of five offensive linemen, like basically like, you know, the flying V from Mighty Ducks into the secondary there. And you're going to like, it's going to be a bloodbath. Like I think about, what was that, 2014-15 when the Chiefs were playing Dallas and they basically did that exact same play. Dallas was in prevent right before the half. They ran like a pseudo screen. Tyreek Hill catches the ball. The offensive line annihilates the secondary players and Tyreek Hill goes and scores a touchdown. Like they didn't even take a shot. So I think that's another thing you have to negotiate too is like you can still run the football, especially if you're talking about time parameters like a minute 30, minute 40 left. Even if there's no timeouts, like offenses now are so efficient in those situations. So let's say I run a draw and it goes for 20. Like that's not good. You know what I mean? Like,
oh, and especially if it's stuff. Like, hey man, we're going to create a flying V when there's about to be contact, slide. That way they can't jump on top of you and cause a pile. And so we can quickly get back up and everyone's at the same level. We can get another playoff in 5-6 seconds. If the referee will spot the ball on time, as opposed to having to unpile bodies and all that stuff.
Yeah, so I think it is a cool idea. I will say this. I think it does have a role. I think it would be interesting to get it like in like that mind of like Joe Witt Jr. and Dan Quinn and see how they would do it, you know, in terms of problem solving. Because to me, I'm like, you could play like quarters coverage, but you could have the four guys in the back deep as hell, and then the guys underneath play man, and then you have two hook players, and then all of a sudden, like that seems like pretty challenging to kind of find space. They have protection over top. And as long as those guys don't get too trigger happy in terms of getting too deep or too shallow, I think you're probably okay. So I do think there is merit to it, but I do think there are a lot of limitations to it as well. And I think you also have to just keep in mind, and I said this at the beginning, like because it's an unlimited down all of a sudden, right? There's no shot clock. Like I think about like forgetting who this was. I think it was Miami a couple of years ago. They rushed two, right? They had two rushers, five offensive linemen. They kind of like wadded it up. And I think Tua just kind of stood there and eventually found a completion over the middle of the field, kind of late in the down. It was like 5 seconds in, 6 seconds in. And then that dude's hitting the ball running. And then because they had the guys kind of in man or match, there was a lot of space on the left. They get the ball down, they move it to the middle of the field, they kick a field goal. So I think you always have to be leery of an untimed down scenario because of the ability for those receivers to just find the extra space. I think your analogy, or the way you modified my analogy about like it's a point guard in basketball and no one's covering them. At some point in that 30-second shot clock, someone's going to be wide open because someone's going to fall down. There's going to be a screen. There's going to be, you know, a holding penalty. Like that's the other thing is the penalty element of this too is probably very, very high the longer the down goes on. So I think you always want to control the time of the down if you're the defense as much as possible. But I'm not saying there's no merit to this, but I do think there's a lot of limitations to when you would apply it.
The more I think about it, the less I like it in like the 2 minute, the more I like it. It's 3rd and 28.
Yeah, like stuff like that is better.
Where it's like, right? You have to get 28 yards. I know the cat, or I know that like the underneath stuff, like I don't care if I give up 15 yards, it's 3rd and 28.
Right.
Like, I actually think that would be the better application, because I was trying to think too, when you were talking about drop eight, I was like, well, when would you use drop eight over this? Like, if you replace the reps of drop eight. So when do we do drop eight? It's situations like that. Obviously red zone two, red zone, you can't do this because of the quarterback draw element. Yeah. But like third and super long, or fourth, you know, Eagles fans that are now tuning in, your ears perked up because I acknowledge your existence on the Jalen Hurts thing. Fourth and 26 back in the day, the Freddie Mitchell play when Donovan McNabb found him. Like, yeah, let's get 11 at the sticks for that. Like, that, fine. But beyond, like, as a, hey, we're going to do this for an entire drive. And like you said, personnel, you can't really call it once. Like, I guess you could if you had, like, you know, do you put, you know, I'm trying to think even on the Commanders, like, hey, it's Frankie and Kane Medrano and Bobby, yeah, and like, you know, all these guys that could rush, but also could play. Like, it's just too complicated. It's not worth it from a time standpoint, but there's a thought here somewhere.
There's something there for sure.
Yeah.
I think the thing that I, to your point, the thing that I kind of come back to is like, when would you apply it?
Right.
Cause like even the third and 20 thing is a little bit leery to me. It's like, basically, in a 2-minute situation, no timeouts, there's like 12 seconds left in the game, and they're on their own like 30, I might pull something like this out, right? Where I can protect the sidelines, right, with my extra coverage players. And essentially, they run versions of this. They're rushing two, they're rushing one. They're, you know what I mean? They yeah, modify their base defense for this exact situation, so maybe I'm cheating here. But you can protect the sidelines. Ball over the middle of the field. We've clogged throwing windows. They have to get multiple plays executed, right? That's probably the most applicable situation. And again, I'm cheating. NFL teams do use a version of this, right? They kind of say, hey, here's, we're going to rush one. We're going to drop our defensive ends out. We're going to have the other defensive tackle kind of play that hook player. And they do use it in situations where they are on their, what is it, like minus? I don't know how you would do that.
They're
like,
on their own 30.
Yeah, they're on their own 30. They're going in. They need two plays to get into scoring position. So you can protect the sidelines. You can protect the middle of the field. So I think that would be the one time where I think this would be very applicable. So probably cheating a little bit with that answer. But again, like, it is an interesting idea, just a kind of application scenario. There are some limitations to it.
Yeah, and the other part of Steven's preamble, though, he's like, against particularly good offensive lines, like, I think that's an interesting element here, too, where it's like, you know, what is your success potential of rushing? And but sometimes, as you said, it's about just making sure the down isn't uncapped from a time perspective. So in summary, yes, there's a reason teams haven't done it. No, it's not completely stupid. Yes, there's something here, but probably not as proposed. And that's the answer to Steven's self-described stupid question.
All right, for more from us on Take Command and more answers to defensive questions and a Terry McLaurin adjacent question, check out Take Command wherever you get your podcast. And if you'd like to submit a mailbag question of your own, go to HoffmanShow.com or hit me or Logan on Instagram at Hoffman.sports or at Logan_Paulson82. When we get back, we're talking about the Kevin Durant trade here on the Team 980.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Wherever summer takes you, save on your journey with True North convenience stores and Red Bull. Enjoy the new Red Bull Summer Edition, White Peach, a perfect balance of bold, sweet, and refreshing. Right now, grab any 3 8-ounce Red Bull for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon, just in time for your next road trip. Save big all summer long with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. True North convenience stores, fast, friendly, clean.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream.
Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.